like two or three extra shots of espresso. Yeah. And they always look at me and like, you understand that's five shots of espresso, right?
And you're like, and?
Yes, I am aware. I won't even notice, trust me.
Yeah, I don't get the Frappuccinos too much, but I'm very much like the pumpkin cream cold brew is good, and the chocolate one is good. They had a chocolate cold foam, which they don't have anymore, unfortunately. That was the summer drink. But so those are the two I'll bop back and forth on in the fall. In the winter, chestnut praline latte, which is delicious. But that's the extent. I'm not one of those people that have to go to Starbucks every fucking day because it's ridiculous. I go for a treat.
Yeah, exactly. It's too expensive to go every day.
Absolutely. But and my coffee machines, I'll make better coffee. So
yeah, I make coffee and I know how to add things to it to make it like a Frappuccino if I really wanted to.
Yep.
I'm recording here. One of you guys could run up recording too, just in case.
Yeah, I heard the ding ding.
I got one started too. For some reason, I didn't get a ding ding.
Yeah, weird.
I got the ding ding.
I didn't hear the ding ding.
Huh. Welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show. I don't know the number.
977.
Thank you, sir. And tonight we have Pat.
Happy Halloween.
Uh-huh. And we have Joe.
Yep.
And Joel. Pat and Joe and myself were the only ones here. Dan is...
on vacation?
No, he said he's on a company trip. So...
sounds like a vacation to me.
Yeah, really?
They let you out of the dungeon for 10 minutes.
Well, in most of our cases, the dungeon is our house.
Yeah, well, they're going to have me go back to the office eventually, but I'm going to milk this whole not driving to the work thing.
I've been doing it for months.
Yeah. Well, going back to the office?
Yeah.
I had a couple of bouts of, like, month-long where they had me go back to the office, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
You don't need to be back in the office.
My company's always been really, really, I'll say it liberal about that. They're not forcing anybody to go back to the office at all.
My company, and I do understand it, like many other companies, had really started the process of pushing for everybody to come back. And then they had this major exodus of people. And then so they tried to slow down the coming back to the office. And then as they pushed and saw that people weren't coming in and then pushed a little bit more and then more exodus, it really, really slowed down. And like at first, they weren't going to allow exceptions, medical exceptions for people that had family members with medical problems. They were only going to allow exceptions if it was yourself that had the problem. And then they realized how many more people they were going to lose that way, and then they changed their mind, and HR was like, okay, if you have a family member with an issue, bring in a note from a doctor, and we will make an exception. So, because, you know, everybody's heard my situation, I have a daughter that is immune compromised, I can't catch COVID and bring it home.
Yep.
So, they have been extremely good about letting me work from home, at least until January. We'll see how things stand then. I know that another push is eventually coming. But I also know how they're going to try and do it eventually. Because they're letting people do that whole hybrid 3 days in the office, 2 days work from home thing. Which is cool. And it's flexible. And if you get permission from your manager, you might be able to change how that's set up. But what's going to happen is one day someone is going to be in the bathroom or something when someone wants to talk to them, and they're going to be working from home at the time, and then suddenly it's going to be this giant, massive deal. And they weren't available right then. Nobody can work from home anymore.
Yeah.
It's an eventuality.
Yeah. Right. But they're going to try and make sure that the blame isn't on them, that it's on us. Because they don't want it to be them, because that's why people quit. If they find someone else to blame.
That's only because morons can't figure out how to mute the fucking headphones when they go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I'm always muted unless I'm actively talking, and then I go right back on mute when I'm not talking anymore.
Same.
Yeah, it's same. Like, I don't mind, you know, 1 to 2 days. It's okay, you know?
Because I never know what my wife is going to say when she walks into the office.
That's the truth. Or me yelling at the cat because he's getting into stuff.
Or what the kids are going to say when they run out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Or when my son decides to come up all the way upstairs to blow a fart because he thinks it's funny.
I would think that was hilarious too.
And he's 23.
I'm like 40 something and I still do that to my kids. I will walk into their room, stand there talking to them and just let one rip. And then I'll turn around and walk away.
Fuck the figure, just fart.
Yeah.
Anywho.
If they're doing dishes and I know that they can't go anywhere, I will walk by and and then keep going and tell them to enjoy.
So, apparently Ubuntu released a new version of Ubuntu last week. Version 22.10 launched. I'm actually running it today.
That would make sense. It's October.
It's a new version of Ubuntu. I mean... What do you want me to say?
It's very iterative. I mean,
yeah, it's not any different.
I understand that a lot of changes have come down the pipe for GNOME.
Yeah.
So, or GNOME, but
and that's it's fully a Wayland right now. So
yeah,
and that's all. Working fine on this laptop's. I just figured this out because we got this for Luke when he graduated, so he could take this laptop to college, and it's 5 years old now.
But with GNOME, you know that has an impact on a lot of different operating systems. I mean, it's the primary for Ubuntu. It's the primary for Fedora.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a lot of others, but those are the two main ones right there, and that covers like. Most of your desktop Linux.
Yep. Yeah, everything installed just fine. Putting Chrome on it was easy. Which literally now, if you want to synchronize...
It's all Snap now, right?
Well, Ubuntu? That's... Okay, now let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, Chrome isn't...
A deb?
It's still a deb. And... For Chrome, you actually have to, if you want to synchronize all the your bookmarks and shit, you have to have the Google version of it. Chromium does not include the ability to sign your browser into Chrome.
Right,
or
they
Google.
Took that away like 2 years ago, which was really disappointing because that was one of the main reasons people were using Chromium because it wasn't Chrome, but it still gave you access to all your account stuff.
Yep. Yep, so I'm not exactly sure why they did that, but you talk about the Snap packages, okay? Here's my problem with it. And now, granted, I can work around it and install like Synaptic or just do it via the command line, via apt commands, you know? But because I like to see how the store does whenever a new release comes out, I always try to do all my additional installs after the main distro is installed. I do that via that store. So I go into the store and I search for Mumble, and I get two answers. There's literally two. Okay, there's one.
I thought they were removing that. I thought they were merging it all to make it look like Snap was the default and kind of hide it from everybody. I think that's the eventual goal, though. So
it probably is the goal, but that I was able to, and I think you can tell which one's which. I'm pretty certain I got the non-Snap version, which that's actually what I want. Because one of the things I don't like about Snap, I can tell you why. if I need to make an adjustment to one of the configuration files that's a text file, that's harder to do with the Snap version.
Okay.
All right. When you install it via deb, you can do it easily. You know, like, for example, if you wanted to flip a bit within Chrome's configuration to turn off certain things off and on, like maybe you want to turn off GPU acceleration. Yeah, I think you can do that with the config file versus just doing it in the browser settings.
Right.
And sometimes you may have to do that depending on the browser or browser system, you know, what graphics card you have, stuff like that. Right. So something like that happened on, maybe it was on my Lenovo is running Pop OS, which I haven't seen if they have a new version of that yet. They probably
don't. That's still Ubuntu based, right?
Yes.
But what are what's their desktop environment?
It's GNOME. Okay. So it's pretty much this almost, I wouldn't say it's identical to Ubuntu because it isn't. They've done a lot of things to polish.
Yeah, I thought it was a little heavier weight.
Yeah, I think it is actually. Feels that way to me. It's nice because everything I have runs it just fine. But, and I'm not sure if I prefer it over straight up Ubuntu or not. But the nice thing about Ubuntu, especially since, and this is another thing I'll talk about today, my work environment's now Mac OS. But Ubuntu's very much like that still. Although, I think they got the controls back on the right hand side, it looks like it, instead of on the left hand side. So, but you, of course, if you really want that, you can move them around. But, and they, did do a little bit more polishing on the version of GNOME, that they're shipping. I think beyond that, cause they made it look a little bit like the old Unity desktop instead of like, GNOME is. So, the dock that GNOME, I think, does GNOME still have a dock on the bottom? It can, I think. But that's on the left-hand side and, feels very much like macOS does to me. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But really, there's a lot of background stuff that I'm sure I'm missing. But from the general desktop usage, I don't really notice a whole lot different. Yeah, other than just new versions of everything. So, which, it's really a lot to say, with a new Ubuntu version, because there used to be massive changes between versions. There really isn't anymore. It's a stable, desktop environment as far as I'm concerned. I wish I could run Linux as my desktop for work, but no, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, cause it's not your call.
That's right. So, but my Sunday, I got shipment of my new work laptop, which is a MacBook Pro 16-inch. It has 512 gig of SSD and the 16 gigs of unified memory, as Apple calls it now, running macOS Monterey, which is the latest stable version Ventura hasn't released yet. But will soon, but I can't upgrade until I get the okay from corporate. But other than just, I mean, really, I have been able to get everything I need to work on it. I already shipped my, my old Windows laptop back, but it's really thin. Mine is the one that has the 16-ish, since it's the 2021 version with the M1 Pro in it, it has the notch on the top of the screen, very similar to how some of the iPhones have it. The only thing is it doesn't have face unlock, which I'm okay with. That's perfectly fine by me. I don't need that. Windows has it with Windows Hello on some devices. I do use the fingerprint reader, to unlock it, which is kind of nice. But the way corporate set it up, though, was when I first logged into it with my corporate AD credentials, it installed Chrome, it installed Firefox, installed a whole bunch of different things beyond the standard macOS build that comes on those machines. Had everything on there. And then the best part is that the underlying parts are Unix still, like as it always is, has been since Mac OS X. And I actually got to use it this week. We had an overnight, I had one of the Indian team make a config change, but it was a low balanced set of websites. And this particular config, you actually have to log into each site that's on the, on each web server to make the change because it stores its configuration on inside the web server for whatever stupid reason. Okay. So, one of them, they missed. So what they needed to do that for was to enable some functionality for, guests or basically prospective students could come in and search for courses and stuff without having to have a login. All right. So we're sending up guest access for them. And, so randomly, whenever that web server would get hit, it would not work. All right. So I went to Etsy host on the Mac, put the server that needed the change on it, and, just fixed it. So then I undid my changes in Etsy hosts and all was well. if you do get the choice to pick between Windows or Mac and you're doing, kind of like what we're doing, cloud work and, working on continuous integration, continuous deployment kind of stuff, CICD, you're going to be much better off with the Mac than you are the Windows machine, period. And corporate can install Falcon Strike and all the other different, security stuff on your laptop as well. So, I have no complaints about it so far. I've been able to do everything I needed to do, including remote desktop, secure shell, and a tabbed, piece of software. I mean, the Mac terminal, you can do that with, but since I like to kind of store it, I don't really want to have to go hunting for an IP address or a host name, to enter into, an SSH prompt just to log into the box. So I have them all set up. I use a Devolution's, remote desktop manager, which supports RDP as well as, Secure Shell, which are the two main ways I get in the servers for the moment until we engineer out that, need. So, but, the Mac, is legit. I mean, I like it. It does everything it needed to do. Doesn't have the touch bar like Dan's Mac has. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Except, run Linux.
Yeah. Run Linux easily. You can. But of course, I'm not gonna.
Oh, no. If it has the M1, then you can't say that it's gonna run it easily.
No, not easily. It's definitely not easily. You can. It's just not gonna be stable. Or easy. but I really don't need that. The Mac OS is gonna work just fine for what I need it to do. I hooked up, I have Open Media Vault here. And as long as I'm not signed in the corporate VPN, I have a disk hanging off of it I can use for Time Machine, which is their backup solution for the laptop. So have that running locally here. I'll probably eventually pick up like a couple terabyte disks and just plug into the dock, so that, I can be still locked in the VPN and the backups can still occur. But, and speaking of docs, since Apple doesn't really make a dock, at all for any other systems, and you're supposed to buy things like a Thunderbolt dock from Belkin or something like that, they typically won't just send one out. But when I was talking to the IT guy, he's like, well, you'll have to buy that through Staples. And of course, my boss isn't going to approve a purchase through Staples necessarily. I can charge it to the company, but then he has to ultimately approve it. So if I don't make sure that he knows about it, and he tells me beforehand, I usually don't order it. But when I was talking to the IT guy, setting up the shipment for the new laptop last week, he says, well, I do have one of these Dell, Thunderbolt docks. I can send you that. And I'm like, oh, okay. If you can do that, that's great. I'll take it. And, it plugs right into the Thunderbolt port on the Mac and works just fine. So, I haven't used the brick that came with the Mac yet. So it's just, I did unpack it. I have it. I'm going to use it, but William, I really don't need to use it on a day to day because the Dell dock charges the laptop just fine. And, plus, let's be, plug Ethernet into it because the new MacBooks don't have, well, no MacBooks have Ethernet on them anymore. But, it's a nice system. Really no complaints about it. And even better, I didn't have to pay for it. So.
I've been doing an absolutely insane amount of 3D printing over the last week or so. Finally got everything dialed in on the 3D printer. I ended up having to reinstall the firmware, which is not exactly difficult if you can make sure that you have the correct firmware to install and then can get a walkthrough on how to convert it from Chinese to English. Because I was still having that problem where the PTFE tubing would basically rip itself out. And then I also had to readjust the extrusion steps so that it was a little bit lower. And then I've been printing a lot of Halloween decorations because it makes Jackie happy.
Nice.
Makes her smile, so I'll keep doing it. Then I also 3D designed and printed a really simple like mount for my keyboard, which I can attach to some like really cheap clamps that I have around that okay. I use for like holding things together after I glue them. I mean, they're like orange and black. I think they were an Amazon special, and you get like 5 or 10 of them for next to nothing. So, yeah, and it works. It clamps onto my little desk that's attached to my theater chair, and then I can just set my keyboard there instead of having to set it in random places everywhere. And then I also printed out a corner bracket that I modified to be able to attach a phone mount to it, and then I screwed that into my chair as well. And then I've 3D printed a different like phone mount that will screw into all of the tripods that I already have. That's pretty cool. I didn't think I'd actually win the auction, but one of the 8-bit dough controllers off of eBay. It's supposed to have a broken right trigger. I ordered it because I was watching 3D printing videos online, and this guy was talking about how his trigger kept breaking on his 8-bit dough, and I figured, and also the 3D print that he did to fix it. And I figured if they break that easy, then people have to be, you know, selling broken ones online. And yeah, I was mostly wrong about that, but I did find one guy that had one up for auction, and it was $10 shipping. But it was 99 cents. I won the auction for. So and it's wow. Supposed to have the broken trigger, and hopefully it's broken the way that I assume that it is. If the button itself is broken, I do have spare buttons, or maybe I have to order the proper one, the electronic component. But I've already got that 3D printed out, the replacement for the actual physical portion of the trigger. And then I also, since I was doing that, I found a couple of things on Thingiverse to be able to, like, mount my phone above the controller since it's Bluetooth and be able to, you know, play games that way. I didn't like how they were set up, so I used the mounting system that they had there and redesigned the phone portion so it would just take with. I had a heat set insert into it. After that, it will take basically any of the quarter inch phone mounts that I already have. So I put a really light All right. one on there with it. And, you know, it should be here, I think, Friday or Saturday. And then I think I still have to find a pin because it needs a steel pin or a metal pin. And that's just basically a nail cut down to size. So I have to find a nail, cut it down to the proper size, use that as the pin that holds it all together inside the controller. And then I will have... an 8-bit DOE controller, and it's the, I think it's the SN30 Plus, SN30 Pro Plus, and yeah, evidently that was a pretty good controller when it first came out. I don't know what people think about it now, but I okay. am going to enjoy fixing it and using it.
Nice. Yeah, my 3D print update, I got a gift card from the boss at work. Not exactly sure what for, but it said for my certification. I'm like, well, you really think I'm going to pass it? anyway, so I used that to buy some of the butt crimp collect, you know, the crimp connections for the fans I'm going to put in my printer and a crimping tool. So that all was just a little bit over 25. So I'll have that. I don't know when I'm going to do that project, because that's going to take a while. And it's one of those ones where I want to just get it all done and get it over with so that my controller's not doesn't sound like I'm torturing it. One of the fans definitely has a bad bearing on it.
Oh, and I did talk about this the other day on Linux Lugcast. But Micro Center has these PS2-style controllers that they sell, or okay. Game pads, for $1.99.
That's not bad.
So yeah, I picked up two of those, and I was testing them out with Batacera on my 1GX, and yeah, that was okay. That was good. It worked out well.
Yeah, I still need to solder together my my Atari style joystick, with the arcade style controls. Just never gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, and I had to reprint the thing I use on my 1GX that holds the USB hub into place, the really thin USB hub that I have.
Okay.
I use the controller mounts that are already on the 1GX, and I was able to... The first 3D print I did was when I was under extruding, so it was very brittle and kind of fell apart. I changed a little bit of how the STL is, but I didn't change any of the mountings or anything because I wanted to see how it worked when it was extruding properly instead of, you know, making everything a little bit thicker and then having it be too much. So, I reprinted it with, the USBs a little bit more exposed, so I wasn't trying to squeeze things around the plastic. And then mounted it up, and it just fits super snug now. So the issue that I was having before with the tolerances, I thought being, you know, not quite good enough, it turns out that the tolerances are picture perfect, and it just it holds really well, and it's solid, and I'm pretty sure that I can hold it up by that plastic piece and not have a problem, which is going to be great when I use a part of that STL file to add on the Razer Jungle Cat controls instead of the controls that come from 1GX.
Cool.
Yeah.
What have you been up to there, Pat?
No 3D printing. It sounds interesting, but I don't know what I would print.
Well, I did see a video on, evidently a guy has a monthly video that comes out on 3D printed guns.
That's cool.
That you'd probably find interesting because, yeah, some people are doing some great work with 3D printed guns, and then some people are doing some really stupid things with 3D printed guns.
Ray Rich is doing some cool stuff. He did like a bolt blower.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, bolt blower
with a Glock. That's fucking cool.
He's doing portions of a gun, but this guy talks about that, and he also talks about people that are 3D printing like the entire gun.
You can't do the barrel. The barrel's got to be metal, steel.
Yeah. Well, they do make metal 3D printers, but that doesn't mean that they're good.
Are they expensive? They're probably very expensive.
Yeah, the ones that use powder, they're basically industrial.
Yeah. Sintering printers, you're talking between...
A lot and a lot.
A lot and a lot,
50
grand? Probably like 30. Yeah. Oh, yeah. More like 50. I would say start at 50. Probably somewhere around there, and you need to have a literal shop that you can run it in, you know. Cause
yeah, and I'm sure that the power consumption is absolutely
probably 220,
insane.
Right?
It's the future, man.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I've tried to explain that to people before that you know the idea of gun control is laudable, but it's untenable because
I don't think so.
In 5 or 10 years, well, you're trying to prevent mass shootings, and I can understand that point. But the whole thing is if people can 3D print guns in 5 or 10 years, and people have been working on this now for at least 5 years. I remember discussing on this show several years back now, that group of people that 3D printed a gun and was able to get off at least 500 shots without it breaking.
I call doubt on that, but yeah.
Well, no, he actually had a YouTube video of being able to fire 500 shots on a 3D printed gun. And I think the only thing that, he obviously had to put the pin in and the spring and the barrel, but everything else was 3D printed. And he had been working on it for quite a while at that point and was able to fire 500 rounds out of it.
That's cool. It's interesting.
But that was Maybe. That was several years ago now.
I like doing a lot of the functional stuff. You're doing a little more functional than you're doing some decorations too.
Yeah.
Like I got some 3D printed pumpkins with I did them with vase mode, so the real
thing. That's
what
I'm doing. Well,
yeah.
Not vase mode.
Yeah. But so now I probably will take, like, that's the thing too, is since I'm taking pictures at the Fall Fest on Saturday, which is when our trunk or treat's gonna be, I don't know if I'm gonna decorate my car at all because I'm gonna be roaming around, and what I may end up doing is I may just throw somebody else my bag of candy and say, here, hand this out. Now, the house here, well, they're going to get spoiled if they come to my house this year. I got full-size Reese cups that I'm going to put in the treats. Because I'm not exactly sure how many kids we're going to get.
The point that I was trying to make was, gun control is going to be pointless once anybody can walk into their own home, press a couple of buttons, and several hours later have a gun.
Exactly. The cat's out of the
So room. You're better off steering things towards education when it comes to weapons.
Yes.
Something more like what they had in the 20s to the 50s, where people were actually learning about guns in middle school.
I agree. I totally agree with
that. Yep. Besides the point though, besides the 3D printers, you've been able to make your own gun on your own fairly simply for a long time now.
AK-47s are not hard to make.
Well, no, you can make something that fires a shotgun round from things that you can buy at Home Depot.
Pipes.
Correct.
You can do that. Yeah.
And Lays that can do metal are not illegal. You can buy one of those and make your own barrel. You can, do woodworking and make your own stock for your
manufacturing
rifle.
Old weapons is
but yep. that, those all require forever. Those all require some kind of skill. It's a whole lot
correct.
Different now. Granted, right now 3D printing does require you to actually have
it
some kind of technical
skill.
Knowledge and being
yeah.
able to put things together.
Yeah.
But you give it a you have to admit it's gotten a lot simpler as
yes.
time has gone on, and it's almost you set the thing up, you push a button. Almost.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Almost. Yeah, it's...
But
not
another 5
not
or 10 years?
Yet, yeah. yeah.
another 5, 10, maybe 20 years if things go slowly. And yeah, it will be that simple.
But, yeah. That's just like another 3D printing gadget I almost bought, but I didn't pull the trigger, was... Have you seen Chep's leveling tool that he made?
No.
Okay, so basically he has files, and I think he's got them for almost every one of the Creality printers. So it's basically a leveling G-code that you run on it, and it's designed to be used with this tool. So what happens is it'll go to the first location, and you slide – it's not like sliding a piece of paper. It's literally a circuit board, okay? And it's designed such that you will adjust the wheel on the bottom of that to until the light lights up on the board, and then you're done. You press the button, and it goes to the next point. Same thing with the others. It's about $25. It
like
already
that.
Assembled, and So I am assuming that in his code, G code he's using for this, he doesn't go all the way down. You know.
Right.
Where it normally would go.
Right. He provides like 5 millimeters of space.
Something like that. Cause this is a circuit board. It's not as thin as a piece of paper that you would normally use.
Right. And this accounts for it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, but I think the G code is either, you can either download it or I'm not sure if, cause he was mentioning in the video on the Amazon page for it that, the G-code was on an SD card. So I don't know if he's saying copy it from the website and put it on your own SD card or if he's shipping an SD card too. But I don't know. I almost bought it, but I figured if I want to get it later, I can. Right now, my fans are more important and I can always level it with a piece of paper. So,
yeah. yeah. Well, I've always thought about, you know, getting the BL Touch, but. I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems like an added expense that I don't really need. It doesn't take that long to go around the block on the thing.
I would do that, but the controller box, and this is kind of another reason why I haven't done the fans yet. Anytime I go to work inside that thing, it's a bitch and a half.
Yeah.
Because everything's so tight in it. It's
keeping everything straight and where it needs to go. It's understandable.
Right. So it's just like, I'm just... glad I won't have to even do the fan inside the power supply. I should not have to unwire anything. As long as I'm not plugged to the wall, I'm just fine doing that. you know, and I don't have to unwire anything from the controller board or any of that. You know, I might accidentally bump the ribbon cable for the display on the front. You know, I don't know. One of these days I do need to, I would like to probably get another one. I might, I don't know. My power spec, i3 mini, I might just get rid of it. If it wasn't so damn heavy, I'd probably just ship it to you, Joe, and say have fun. But, the thing about that one is, the one big thing I don't like about it is it doesn't have the heated, build surface. And, they have brought out which the PowerSpec version is basically just the Micro Center branded version of the Wanhao i3 Mini. But they have brought out, kits for some of the Wanhaos that you can upgrade to that, but I have not seen them in a while. So I know the newer versions of the i3 Mini do have a heated build surface. So other than that, I mean, I like it. It's really accurate and it's a The only thing I really don't like about it is not heated build platform and the what's the other thing I was trying to remember the other day? They didn't like. Oh, it's noisy as fuck for one.
16-bit board or 8-bit board.
Yeah, it's not like the newer ones. And something else I didn't like about it. I can't remember. Oh, build surface is small. That's what it is.
Well, it is real a mini. Small.
Right. It's more mini than the CR10 mini. So, you know, but.
And it's also, what, 6 years old?
Yeah, it's very old now. Yeah. So that's the other thing too. When before I moved, I had a hairdryer and that actually worked to get the build surface warm hot enough. Yeah. It would last long enough. Cause if you
need that first layer.
Right. Basically, once the first few layers are done, you don't really need the heated surface anymore. You know, it just helps it stick better.
Well, that's why that option there in Cura is initial build plate temperature and then build plate temperature.
Right, right. Yep, exactly. But it is like the one thing I do like about it is I think it's a little bit more stable than the CR10 can be, even though it's only got you know, it's kind of a weird gantry on it, but it's really solid. So I mean, I think it's more solid than I know Prusa brought out an i3 style as well. i3 mini style, I should say as well. But I haven't turned it on that much. So it's just, I just might give it to someone or, you know, maybe at a Linux Fest I go to, I'll just take it and say, hey, you want a printer? Here. you know.
Have a first printer. Enjoy. Yes.
Have fun being frustrated. Well, I won't say that. It wasn't that bad.
Well, any 3D printer eventually frustrates that out of
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd like to get. I'd love to get one of the newer. See, I'm probably gonna try and see which CR. I want to look at more of the Creality line because I know they have some that have a little bit better control boxes where they're not quite as tight as they are, or maybe the power supply is not built into the control box. You know, like the Ender 3s that way. I think that then the power supply just strap onto the gantry, I think, on the Ender 3.
On the older Ender 3s, it straps onto the gantry.
Right.
The newer one, it has its own, like, section in the base.
Maybe more spread out.
Yeah, it's separated from the board.
Okay, yeah. That might be better, you know, because it was, let me tell you, two years ago now, when I was putting the current control board in this printer, it was a bitch and a half to get everything in there.
Yeah.
But I did it, you know, it's not built for human tolerances.
Well, the Maker Select, the old one I had, the V2. I replaced the board in that a couple of different times for different reasons.
Right.
But its entire control board and assembly and everything else is in a completely separate piece. So it was pretty easy to do.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, this is, you know, heck, my CR10 Mini is almost that old now, too. So. Although I've done massive upgrades on it, like I have the dual gear extruder.
Yeah, I hear it's supposed to be pretty easy to make the Ender 3 V2 into dual extruder.
I would love to get a dual extruder, especially for printing TV. Yeah, PVA supports. Yeah.
Dissolvable supports, making life easier.
Yep. And using up more plastic.
Well, no, because you use that much up in supports anyway, but...
Truth.
You don't waste it breaking things off.
And you don't slice your fucking finger open either.
Right? I mean, razor blades, hobby knives, and... needle nose pliers.
Yes. Every single one of them. So when you, what, do you hunt much anymore, Pat?
I haven't gone in a couple of years.
Cool. Yeah, I understand. People are idiots out there, too.
We're out there. I'll probably do another pig hunt at some point.
Yep. Actually, wanted to go fishing again since our camp trip, never got around to it, so.
Yeah, it's a little cold for that now. They when it gets the temperature dropping, they tend not to stay near the surface. They go deeper.
Which, if I had a boat, wouldn't be too bad, but I don't have one. That was weird. I just signed into Amazon and it sent me a text message on my phone. It's correct.
Making sure it was you?
I guess.
You don't have 2FA set up?
I do. That's the funniest thing in the world. Huh. There's the OTP code from my Google Authenticator, and that is weird. Now, what I would like to do is I would like to get a 3D printing scanner, and I found these rotating.
Well, you can make your own.
Well, yeah. Actually, the thing is I got a Xbox Kinect downstairs that we
Jackie
don't use.
Jackie says hi, everybody.
Hi, Jackie.
Joel says hi.
Yep. But I could use the Xbox Kinect to do that. But the one thing you really need to scan that stuff.
You could use your iPhone to do that.
Yeah.
And a turntable.
Well, you could. But what I could, yeah, I was going to say, I found these solar powered turntables. I was gonna actually order a bunch of them, but then I thought, nah, let me think about what I'm gonna use for a scanner first. The Kinect will probably be the one I try and use because we don't hardly use it. The one reason I was thinking about getting them turntables is I thought, well, they're solar powered, so I can just put my I have a bunch of the Eagle Moss Enterprises. Sitting here, I'd have to divide to separate them a little bit, but I thought it would be kind of cool if I put those on it and had them turning as they were sitting in my office. But yeah, which I thought about it and said, no, that's a stupid idea. Oh, but the only thing I don't like about them is that's about as small as they are, is they'll fit something like that on it. So, and then when you're doing those 3D scans too, you probably need to have something like good example would be is if you're trying to scan like say a pop can and it has a glossy finish on it, you probably want to spray that with a flat spray paint before you scan it. Otherwise it just won't.
The glare messes with
yeah, the glare messes the scan up, right, correct. So it's like I could try to do that with I know the Note 10 Plus had the scanner as well, as part of the standard loadout on Android, I think.
Yeah, when it first came out, I don't know if it still does.
Yeah, but...
But you still need a stable base for it to be on.
Yep.
And correct angles throughout the whole thing.
And good lighting, too.
Good lighting.
Yeah, so...
And even then, if you're set up on a turntable, you're not getting the bottom.
Yep.
You should get the top, but you won't get the bottom, so.
Yep. Yep, there's that. Yeah, so. Top is really, because what the things I would like to do with it is, like, not so much, not having the bottom would not upset me on that, but, like, for example, if I could scan it and get a perfect image of a pop can or a cup, you know, I could then design a holder for said cup or pop can, you know.
That's not that hard.
So
even designing it without the picture, I mean,
you can do that too, right? But for things like that, like, not necessarily, that's just what I'm using for example. Like things like, for example, like getting the exact, shape of, like, your pen, you're making the 3D, like a pen holder that you wanted to hold it exactly or something. You know, that's a little bit more of what I'm looking at. Is that way I can use that to generate the hole and whatever I needed to do, so it would be more form fitting, you know.
Right.
That's not as easy to do by hand. You can do it, but it's just not easy.
Not that easy.
No. So, but like you can do, like you could take like that STL out of the 3D scan file or 3DF or whatever file format you're using now. And then you could bring that into like Tinkercad, draw a block or a cylinder and then stick that in it. And then you'd have a perfectly shaped, hole for it. You might have to play around.
Yep. Did we lose Joel?
No, I'm here. The cat decided it was a good time to try and use my chair as a scratching post.
Ah.
Like,
cat likes you.
Actually, you, I think he does. we have an auto feeder. Actually, what I probably do need to get is we have the kind of auto feeder where you just fill the top and it just comes out the bottom, you know? And, anyway, what that means is he can eat literally as much as he wants. So he's getting a little fat. So, I think I need to get one where I can just put the portions in it, you know. We're never gone for more than a week or so anyway. So, that might be a better option than the one I have. Or if I can find one where it would only open the bottom of it for like an hour or so and then shut it automatically, that would also be better. I do know how to get into exercises. I had one of those Logitech presentation controller pointer things, but basically you can use it to advance a slide in a PowerPoint, you know, while you're doing a presentation, but it has a green laser pointer built into it. And I had that cat running spirals on my downstairs floor. He loves that laser pointer. He will just chase it forever. Or like other things too. Like I'm sitting there, I got up a little early one day for work this week and, was drinking my coffee and had my iPad with the iCloud Guru app on it, taking a practice test for my certification test Friday morning. My right hand's laying right beside me on the couch, and he stood up on his hind two legs and started patting me on my hand. It's like, Dad, I want to play. I really do think he's starting to pick me as his human, as he'll follow me all over the place.
Nah.
So he doesn't like to be in a room by himself for too long. So if Luke and Misty go out somewhere when I'm working, he'll come up here all the time, which I like. Sparta never did come up here. Or old kitty. How are your boys doing, Pat?
What's what? Life in general?
Life in general, yeah.
My older guy's in college already. He's doing graphic arts.
Shit. I feel old now.
Yeah, my younger guy's a sophomore.
Okay.
He's lazy as fuck.
Yeah.
Let's just sit around and play video games all night.
What did you want to do at that age?
I was into girls at that age, personally, but whatever.
Okay, well, there's that.
These kids, they start late in life, it seems.
Well, a lot of the things I noticed, too, with younger kids has been they don't go out on dates like we did when we were kids. They would go out as a group. So they may have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, depending on what you are. But they, instead of going out by themselves, they go out with all their friends. but nothing wrong with that. It's just different.
Yeah, you know? I guess.
I guess we did that too. Like after that's what we did after prom is me and my date when we met a bunch of our friends over at the bowling alley when we went bowling. So, but yeah, it's definitely different now.
It is.
I had a low foot. Well, it's a local chain. Like, it's only Columbus area place called Piata for dinner. A little mad because my carbonara. Yeah. They call it Italian street food, which I don't know. That's debatable. Cause they basically make like what they call a piata is kind of similar to a burrito, but instead of like Mexican things inside it, it's Italian things. So, and I had,
never heard of it.
Yeah. I had pasta carbonara, which was okay, but you can add things from the grill on it and have, they call it calamari misto, which is basically deep fried calamari with, and they also have like a banana peppers that they'll put in with that and fry at the same time. You can get that put on top of your pasta. And I ordered that extra, but they forgot to put it on my pasta. So got my $2.50 back via Grubhub. But that's one of the healthier things. And that was one of the, like,
for calamari, man, that's a bargain.
Yeah, well, it's not a lot, you know. I think if you buy the whole order, it's a little bit more, but and it's decent. It's not not the best calamari I've ever had, but it's not the worst either, you know. Kind of middle of the road, but I love calamari, like especially like
tentacles are the best.
Oh yes, Buca di Beppa with when they make it, they'll put the tentacles in too. And they get nice and crunchy.
I don't know. I went to that chain once over here, and it was pretty terrible.
Yeah, well, Buca's definitely better than Olive Garden, but that's not hard to do.
That's not saying much. You know, yeah. Olive Garden is if I'm, like, in fucking Iowa, and, you know, I'm feeling for fucking linguine or something.
I mean, yeah. Oh, that's like a YouTube channel I discovered was I think I'm going to say this Italian name right, Pisani's, all right? And it's, she's married, the name, I'm trying to remember her name, but her husband is an Italian, all right? And they live, I'm trying to remember where they live. I thought they said one time, but I just started watching them, so I don't know a whole lot about them yet, but like she does video, like, she did a video this week where she got all this jarred sauce, all, you know, from ragu to luti, which is a true Italian sauce that you can buy. All right, and for pasta.
I don't buy sauce.
Yeah, oh, I know you make yours, and so does he. But she put a blindfold on him and had him sample each one. And surprisingly enough, Ragu didn't do too bad. but what he says, and this is almost always what he says when he tries anything that's Italian, like they did one video where she got food from, Fazoli's. And what he has said was that Italians, you know, everyone thinks that in America that Italians use a lot of garlic. They very rarely use, I mean, they use garlic, but not as much as we put in Italian food here. And that was kind of his main beef about...
Yeah, everything needs more garlic.
I like garlic. I love garlic.
So do I. It's good for you.
Yeah. That's like, there's a, one of those people that go to fairs and stuff, you know, that run the trucks at a fair, company called DeRusso's here, and their primary thing they do is, Italian sausage and sausage sandwiches at fairs and whatnot, and meatballs, okay? You can buy actually both of those at Sam's Club locally here, so I bought a box of those, and, this week I did, just chop some peppers and onions up and, chops up some fresh garlic and sauteed that in my cast iron. And while I was grilling the sausages on my Cuisinart because I was lazy and didn't really want to go out and cook them on my Pit Boss. It doesn't matter anyway, cause I think they come, those come out better inside or in a fry pan instead of on the pellet grill, but, and that's what we had for dinner, sausage, peppers, and onions with garlic on it, and that was really good. But, that's, that the, both the sausage and the meatballs, you know, they're frozen, but they're both pretty tasty for what they are, you know. And a real Italian would make their own meatballs. And I have done that before. And Irish food, I think, is boring.
You ever have haggis, real haggis? It's actually pretty good, the real stuff.
I'd imagine I'd probably like it, because I actually do like scrapple and other similar things. I don't want to try blood sausage. That just looks gross.
Oh, that's so good. Delicious.
I'm sure it probably is. Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's not something I would eat every day. It's like once every 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
But it's quite good. In fact, I haven't had it in a while. Why don't we go get some?
Yeah, it's like me and pork roast and sauerkraut. I usually only have it one time a year. New Year's Day.
Maybe I'll do that for Christmas. I'll get some blood sausages.
Yep. Actually, I want to get some, actually, I have to see if I can find some Hickory Farms summer sausage for Christmas.
It's gotten so expensive.
It is. Especially the Hickory Farms brand.
Yeah, the Hickory Farms one used to be like that go-to quick gift that
yes.
wasn't too expensive that you'd be able to give somebody, and it's like, it's
got
the crackers
one now.
And the
funny
meat
thing.
And the cheese, and none of them are cheap anymore. None of them are affordable anymore, especially for what you get. I mean, I saw the size of those summer sausages just shrink down and down and down,
and
the price go up and up and up, and then the quality of the cheese just went completely out the window, and
Now it's like one of my guilty treats is going over to Giant Eagle here and get me a pound or two of Lebanon bologna, which I absolutely love. It's my favorite lunch meat. Grew up with it, so we, you know, my grandparents lived in Palmyra where it was made. So
super smoky.
Oh, I love it. It's one of my favorites. That's why I like it.
I like it too. It's not something I would eat all the time, but once
no,
it's good.
No. And I still, you know, I see so many different versions of a sandwich made with that, and I still don't know which one's my favorite. I like most of them. But like one of my favorite ways to do it with that is I'll usually pair it up with Swiss and a little like maybe some hot German mustard or something.
That sounds good.
Oh yeah. I mean that or like
a rye or pumpernickel, that sounds delicious.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a perfect lemon bologna sandwich for me. But I keep thinking there's something better, and I haven't quite put my finger on what would make that kind of sandwich better. Swiss pairs up with it nice because it's not a strong cheese. It lets the meat shine through. No,
Pepper Jack. Yes. Pepper Jack makes most sandwiches better, and the cheese is decent, but it's really that pepper that makes it pop.
Yeah, Pepper Jack is very similar to like a white American almost, in flavor to me. You know,
it's a light cheese flavor,
right?
And it's the pepper that's really bringing out the flavor, especially when you get the habanero one or the jalapeno one. And yes, it really adds to a sandwich.
But it's like cream cheese works with the Lebanon bologna for sure. Because that's light too, in flavor. Maybe not so much in calories, but.
Hey, Jackie, what was that one spreadable cheese that I picked up? The pimento?
Pimento cheese, like palmetto. Cheese. Oh, palmetto. That's delicious.
Palmetto, yeah.
Which is a pimento.
Right? I picked it up at Walmart, and my whole thing with it. I couldn't get any flavor out of it. I don't know if it's just the brand I picked up or what.
Really?
But it was complete. I had to like stir garlic into it to actually get anything out of the flavor of it.
See, that's maybe you had prices or something instead of the Palmetto branded, but it is a Palmetto cheese on both cases. Now, if Palmetto's has a little bit of chili powder in it.
Nothing in it. This had no flavor whatsoever. I had to mix in things to get flavor from it.
That's strange. Like prices or I think Pat can get stuff made by Ask, I think, over there. I don't know. It's been a while since I bought a lot of food over there. I mean, we were back when we went back to her, to visit Hershey. I did go to a Giant or two and Weiss as well. See, that's the thing I don't like. I can only get like the basic ones that Seltzer's has. They have the sweet and the regular, which honestly I'm going to say I like both. But probably prefer the regular myself.
Yeah, they're both good.
But they're both good, yeah. But they had some other ones too. Like I had a double smoked version that I picked up when I was in Hershey. I can't think of it actually tasted different. But then they had like a honey one, which was really different. I mean, it had that kind of wang to it, but it was much sweeter than the sweet one. I think it's the one I had. It might have been Baumburgers instead of Seltzer's, but. And then the other thing I like from that area of the country is a souffle pie, and I can make that, and I have made it, and it comes out from wonderfully. Essentially, sugar pie is what it really is.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too
healthy. Molasses. It has molasses and vanilla, butter, eggs. You know, so it's definitely an acquired taste. If you're not from... I would say, well, Pat's just a little outside of that area where he's at.
Yeah, but you like probably get northeast of there. That's a couple hours.
Yeah, from yeah. We're talking Palmyra, Hershey, Lancaster, York.
Well, Hershey's only an hour and a half west of here, but like Lancaster's further south. It's like two hours.
Right. But yeah, it's. That area of the country, I think, has some of the most unique things that I've seen food-wise.
It's very German, that stuff.
Yes.
You know, Pennsylvania was mostly German.
Absolutely.
And then they had other groups come in afterwards, you know, Italians and Irish and other groups, Poles.
It's like Russians. I had to laugh. Because I've lived part of my life in Philly area, too. And somebody posted like a list of food. I think maybe it was Philly Pretzel Factory. They posted like a Philadelphia top 10. And they didn't even have Pat's steaks on that list. What's that's like a staple of the Philly diet is going over to the Penn Station getting the cheese
egg. That and you diet regularly, you're gonna have fucking you're gonna need a triple bypass.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, but and then they had Federal Donuts on it, which I've never had their donuts, but I'm very sure that I've had their pretzels. When I was a kid, when you go to see the Phillies or the Eagles, they had these older guys, usually older guys, they're pushing grocery carts just full of bags of soft pretzels, and they go, pretzels, $5 for $1, cheaper on the outside. So, and this is back when Veterans Stadium was a thing, that's now gone, as is Spectrum, but, my dad, when we were kids, we'd get tickets to go see like the monster truck rallies and the Flyers and stuff, when he was working in construction. And, we each buy a bag of those, kind of stuff them under our coat so the, ticket takers didn't see them. And then we just marched right out to where they had the big old, pumps of, mustard and put mustard on our pretzels. You know, because the you buy a soft pretzel in the stadium, it was like $5 for one, and it wasn't that good.
the prices at these stadiums are insane now.
Oh, they are. Yeah,
$15
even
for
just
beer.
To get a
I went to
ticket.
I went to the Maiden show last Friday.
Yeah,
at the Prudential Center in Newark, which is a really nice arena.
And let me guess, beer was about $10.
$15 for a tall boy.
Jesus.
No thanks.
Of shitty beer too, because let's face it, it ain't microbrew.
No, I mean they had some stuff that was. I mean, you know, they had like you know Heidekens and Labatt's and stuff. It was nothing special, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we met up and went to one of the Spanish restaurants over by the Iron Banner. It was like 3 blocks away from there, and there's some really good Spanish and Portuguese places over.
Yep.
There.
Some well, I don't think we can get it here, but linguiça would be delicious.
Yeah, that's pretty much chorizo. That's what the Portuguese call it.
Yeah.
It's good, though. If you like that type of food. If you like garlic, you'll love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sangria was good.
Sangria.
I had grilled octopus. It was fucking fantastic.
Ooh. It does sound good, actually.
Oh,
I like that.
So good. Octopus is fantastic.
Yep. Actually, I'm disappointed. We used to have this, shit. I'm trying to remember the name of it. There was a, and we went to it. There used to be a group of us before the pandemic that, worked for my company that all live, like, in the central Ohio area. Like in, like, Pickerington, Columbus, so on and so forth. We'd all meet up at a restaurant for lunch, during our work day, about once a month. And one place we went to was, I want to say Bibimbap, and I know it's not Bibimbap. It was, I'll have to figure out the name, but it was a Korean fried chicken place, which was really good. The chicken was really good. But as one of my sides though, I got takoyaki. Oh, I love takoyaki. Octopus balls, essentially. But, and
Korean's
then they put up.
I like Thai.
Yeah.
Thai's good.
Definitely Indies. Like Korean.
Indian's good too, once in a while. I like Indian.
Yeah.
Food. Way better than Chinese food. Healthier too.
My Indian coworkers are always like, this food's going to be too spicy for you. And then it's like, no, it's really not.
Yeah, New Jersey has a lot of Indians, so there's some really good Indian places. I found a place over here nearby that's fucking really good.
Banchan, I think, is the name of it. Let me see. Yes, that's the place we went. And all the ones in Ohio closed up, unfortunately. But that was really good.
Nobody's doing buffets anymore. I understandably, they're kind of gross, you know, but,
well, there's still some places. China Buffet. Grand China Buffet.
Yeah, we have, There's one over by where we used to live. They're still there. And then I have to look on their website, but the place I used to get Indian food when I lived up in Dublin, it's on Salmo Road in the Columbus area, was called Amo India. And I think Saturdays they used to do an Indian buffet. So you can try everything from butter chicken.
Yeah, that was what that was good for. You could try different dishes, you know.
I want to go to that once. And if not take my wife and my son, at least take my son, because I'm convinced he probably would like it. You know.
I haven't been to a buffet in a really long time, but yeah. Me and Jackie like going to a rotating sushi bar. Only problem is they kind of raise their price, so
I'm sure
for the two of us to go and, you know, be full, it ends up costing like $70.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, it's pricey.
Especially when you're talking like sushi grade fish. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still pretty good food, and we'll treat ourselves every now and again. It's just not as often as we used to.
Yep. It's what's kind of funny is our Sam's Club will have sushi too, and it's actually not horrible.
Yeah, Kroger will have sushi. It's that's usually not bad, pretty good.
Yeah. I like Kroger's. They do Snow Fox, I think, and I think Sam's does the same brand. Cause it literally is a brand. They'll send like people to make the sushi at the store for them. But those two are pretty decent. Myers, whoever does it, I just don't see. They kind of do the weird sushis. And by weird, I don't mean things like sashimi or anything. I mean they'll have a roll coated in hot Cheetos.
Sounds disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I like hot Cheetos, but I don't really think they belong on sushi.
I agree.
Just because hot Cheetos have their place.
Have their place, and it's not on top of sushi.
I don't think, just by themselves, they're fine. Yeah, maybe with a little bit of ranch on the side or something, that could be good too, you know, but.
Living in El Paso, working at a 7-Eleven, you see a lot of people that will get like the hot Cheetos or the Takis, and then they'll go over to the chili and cheese machine and just open up the bag and pour chili and cheese on it.
Ugh.
Like really first, cheap, nasty chili and cheese.
7-Eleven chili is horrible.
It's garbage, yeah.
Yes.
Trust me, I
Hormel
know.
Chili is the same. The bowling alley Luke bowls at now is, by the way, it's AMF. And AMF is owned by, guess who? The PBA, okay? The Pro Bowlers Association owns the chain of bowling alleys now. And I got nachos there one time, and they literally put Hormel chili on the nachos, and I'm like, I can't eat these things. I ate like 3 or 4 bites, and then all of a sudden my stomach started getting heartburn like instantly. It was gross. It's like,
You know, one of the reasons that I used to love going to ball games or, you know, even high school basketball games was the nachos. And yeah, they weren't, you know, the highest quality, but you'd get a decent amount, and the cheese would be okay, nacho cheese. Nothing
spectacular.
But it's
still the liquid nacho cheese. But
everybody has switched to that like pre-packaged liquid nacho cheese. That's more oil than anything else. Yeah. And it controls the amount of cheese that you get, so you can't get a decent amount of cheese in the first freaking place. And it's just pointless.
Yep.
The sporting food over here, you see dirty water hot dogs.
Right. Yeah.
Like onions on them or like sauerkraut. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yes, traditional steam hot dog is what you used to get at a stadium. But no, another weird sushi they have at Meijer is Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Roll.
No.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, like, first off, that's not even Asian.
It sounds better than Hot Cheetos.
That I will
marginally.
Give you. Yes.
It that doesn't sound I will give you. Good, but it sounds
but
better than Hot Cheetos.
You put that in front of me, or you look at their other products, like their sushi tempura shrimp roll, I'll take the shrimp, please.
Frank's yeah. Red Hot is for frickin' buffalo wings, you know? And
yes.
It comes out really good with Frank's. I do it
yeah,
with Frank's.
And it does.
Fantastic.
Frank's is good on a lot of things. I just don't
it
know
is.
If it's good on sushi.
Yeah. If I'm putting hot sauce on sushi, probably, and this is even a stretch, sriracha maybe, but.
Sriracha's great. Like, I don't
care. There's
a
reason
Tabasco.
The wasabi is there.
That too.
And Tabasco is vastly overrated, in my opinion.
It is.
I don't think it, for hot sauce, it's not even that good.
Tabasco is weak, actually, I find. It's not, yeah.
It's cheap and easy to get.
Yes. Just like Texas Pete, but Texas Pete is a little warmer and not made in Texas either.
Frank's is better.
I think so.
I like G. Hughes.
What'd you say? G. Hughes?
G. Hughes.
Oh, yes. The one we talked about them before, yeah.
Yeah.
Cholula's good. I like Cholula on my tacos, a burrito.
Yeah.
The chipotle looks good.
The green Tabasco is pretty decent, too. And better than the regular Tabasco, I think.
Oh, I think I got a sampler pack of hot sauces that I still have to go through.
And Crystal's hot sauce from Louisiana is good, too.
Yeah, I've had that. It's decent.
Yeah, I have a friend that before the pandemic, he and his wife would go down to New Orleans every year or so. I don't think they've gone back in a while, but whenever he's down there in the New Orleans area, he knows of a place down there where he can get a gallon of Crystal hot sauce. He likes it that much. And he'll buy a gallon and it'll take him a while.
Yeah, whatever makes you happy.
But this is actually a cool thing. We all both moved up. This friend that does that, he and I both kind of lived in kind of the same area. Every once in a while we'd run into each other. He's a ham radio guy. That's how I know him mostly. But he and his wife bought a piece of land and a house down in New Bremen. And he was harvesting soybeans this week. And although I think he might have been paying someone to do that for him so that he could sell them. But he also started an apiary down there, and he's been working on his hives, making
honey.
Oh, my
God. Honey is super expensive.
Yep. He's not
I don't know why, because they don't fucking come from China.
Yeah, he will sign it. Yeah, or sell it, I should say.
It's getting harder and harder to keep bees alive.
Well, that's also another thing he's struggling with, too, is keeping his hives going. But he's learned so much about it in the last year or so, which I think probably next year is going to be his breakout year where he's really going to start to sell his products. So I might see about getting that. And one thing I asked him, I said, are you going to make a hot honey? Have you ever tried any of the hot honeys? They're delicious.
Yeah, I've had some before.
Mike's hot honey is really good. On pizza, which sounds weird, but it's really good on pizza. Try it.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll stick to my pineapple and ham on pizza.
That's true, Italian. He's like, pineapple.
I'm not Italian,
pizza.
But I know fucking good pizza, and that doesn't. Right. That's not good. Sorry.
Well, you okay? New Yorker, I should say.
I even like Chicago style once in a while. You know?
Do you? Okay. Yeah.
All like right. Crust.
See, that's my thing is Pat. I like all sorts of pizza. New York style's fine. Chicago is very good. I've even had St. Louis style, which is
I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's a very look for Emo's, IMO pizza. It's a St. Louis point. They don't put mozzarella on their pizza. They put Provel.
You mean provolone?
No, Provel.
I don't know what that is.
I'll tell you what it is here in a second.
Never heard of it.
I'm looking it up. Okay, it is a white processed cheese product, particularly popular in St. Louis cuisine. It's a combination of cheddar, Swiss, and provolone. That's what they put on pizza.
I try it.
It's actually St. Louis better is a than shit you hole, think. Though. Yeah, it's better
it's pretty
than
bad,
you think.
St. Louis.
Oh yeah, it is. Right.
I would not go there.
I got to see the arch, but I did get out of the car in downtown St. Louis to go see it. So
you're very brave.
I was very brave. And I had to drive past
Ferguson.
Taking
your life in other people's hands.
Right. I had to go drive past Ferguson to go there. So that tells you where it was.
Like fucking Baltimore. No thanks.
Yeah. But there was an Emo's. I was actually in St. Charles, Missouri, which is, you know, kind of a suburb.
Missouri is a nice state. It's beautiful. It's like Michigan once you get the fuck away from Detroit.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Great state. It's beautiful.
But I did get Emo's when I was there, and I quite liked it. I thought it was definitely different. The cheese was really the biggest difference, though. The rest of the toppings were pretty normal. You know, the pepperoni, sausage, stuff like that, you know. And I did not, when I was in San Diego, I did not get pizza there.
No.
I knew
in California, you stick with the Mexican or the Asian stuff.
Yeah, as I say, I had a Vietnamese when I was there, so I had some pho and a pork bun mi. Totally delicious.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And then I found a Korean barbecue place there that
Korean's
was really good.
Filipino's good. There's a lot of good stuff.
And I'm kind of a little bit excited because I did try two different burger places once in California. I tried the one everyone knows, In-N-Out.
Extremely overrated.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, it's a good burger. It's not a fantastic burger.
The whole state's overrated. We'll just leave it.
I like Five Guys better, to be honest. But the other one that I tried, which is I thought I liked better than In-N-Out, was just a place called Freddy's. And we're getting one in Grove City. They're building it like a couple miles from my house, so I'm kind of excited about that because they, the other thing they're known for is shakes and stuff. So I didn't get one when I was there, but because I was just stopping at a place to get some food that I crammed in my gut before I crashed at the hotel, and it was very good. I thought it was. But they both kind of reminded me similar to Steak and Shake. And Steak and Shake is one of those that can be good and can be very bad depending on which one you go to. But generally don't like Steak and Shake. If I'm going for a burger, I'm going for a good burger. Like, I think even Wendy's is better than Steak and Shake. That's what Joe had tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Wendy's bourbon burger.
I made my own burger today. I grilled up my own burgers. It was great.
Got to bust out the turkey burgers tomorrow.
There you go. It's past 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up.
So it's go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you guys for listening this week. You guys, I don't know when you'll get to hear this because it all depends on when Dan can put it back up on
later
the feed.
In the week.
Yeah, but it'll probably be later in the week. Maybe right before you listen to next week's show.
It's possible.
Which will be November.
It's flying by, right?
I know, right? It's like I can't believe I've been in this house over
right
a year now. Yep. I actually need to find out if Misty wants to do the same thing we did for the family last year. We had a gathering here at the house before, like in mid-December instead of closer to Christmas.
Because we knew everybody. Nice Christmas, so this year is going to be definitely be better.
There you go. Yep. So take care, everyone.
Have a good one.
See you next week.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah.